Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie, what's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude. And they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast. My name is Alex, and we've got a very special guest back on the show, Mr. Rennie Doyle. How are you doing, sir?
Good, man. How are you, Ox?
I'm doing excellent. So, Rennie, you know, I talked to you after we did the last episode, and you know, listening to you talk on that episode really got me to thinking that, you know, while this is kind of a get to know you type podcast, and I've always looked at you as that type of person that, like, you know, everybody knows Rennie Doyle, but after listening to you talk on the podcast and everything, I was like, but I don't know, like, I know Rennie Doyle, but I don't know Rennie Doyle. And so that made me think, like, there's a lot of people that know who you are, know what you do, but don't know you and don't know what you do. So I was like, he fits the podcast. So right. we wanted you back on, and I'm glad you were, like, when I asked you, I'm glad, you know, I was excited that you seemed excited, like, heck yeah, let's do it, you know, kind of thing. So it's awesome.
Well, what you're doing is cool. And anytime that you can build the industry up, and maybe my story of, we'll go back in through the beginning, you know, is I didn't start out with this shop.
Right.
You know, as a matter of fact, there's a Mongoose BMX bike back there. That's what I started out with, was towing a trailer behind it.
Oh, wow.
And so if you want to talk about a humble beginning, I started with a BMX bike with a wagon carrying my products around.
So, well, that is my first question. So the first question I always ask everybody is the how, the where, the when, the why did you get into detailing?
Yeah, you know, I grew up, and you're going to hear my dog. I'm a dog person, so my it's a nice afternoon. My dog's going to run in and out, so I love my dog. So
that's
one
fine.
Of us ran through. We got four rescues, but
nice.
You know, I grew up like a lot of us did. Right now in the industry, we've got everything from people like myself that broken home. You know, just a mom and a grandma raised me. We didn't have a car part of my life. You know, we didn't have TV part of my life. We didn't have a lot of basics. We just didn't have.
Right.
But I always tell people, I came home to a loving home. So I always felt love, but we didn't have much. Does that make sense? So at the time, you know, I grew up in a wild time, man. I grew up as a little kid, you know, in the 70s, early 80s, and shit was just wild, you know, and it was about big wheels and BMX bikes and, you know, skateboards. And we just got into, you know, taking BMX bikes into pools and skateboards into pools. And so I liked anything with wheels and tires and an engine or not an engine. So one day I'm sitting there, me and a buddy were watching this plane in the air, and it's doing all these aerobatics. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
So we took off on our bike. We didn't find it the first day. The second day we found the airport. And, I just was fascinated with these little airplanes, you know, and I was really lucky. The guy that kind of took me under his wing, so to say, he wanted to teach me how to fly. I didn't have any money, so he put me to work cleaning airplanes.
Oh, wow.
And so Art Scholl was his name. Google him sometime. He died, you know, in Goose. I don't know if you're an old, you know, if you love, you know, old movies, but Top Gun.
Come on. I mean,
come on. Right.
I'm a child of your era. So yeah, Top Gun. Yeah.
So, you know, when Goose died in Top Gun, that's when my mentor, Art Scholl, actually got killed during the flat spin maneuver.
Oh, wow.
So he actually did that maneuver, and it wasn't a hard maneuver, but he didn't like it. What was seen in the movie, he didn't like it. So he went out to refilm it, and he had a mechanical. We really don't know what happened to his airplane, because it was him or the airplane were never found. It went into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And so it was tragic. I was a real young man when that happened, and it definitely impacted me. But he, you know, I'm thankful to him and his, you know, his whole crew. They got me my start, and they really, you know what, they really taught. I already had a hardcore work ethic, you know, and right. I loved people. You know, I grew up as a special ed kid, got teased a lot. So I just decided, instead of withdrawing, I just went the opposite. The people were nice to me, I was super nice to them.
Okay.
And the people that were not nice, I you know, I put my foot in mouth. I got beat up a lot because I shared my opinion to people when they weren't right. nice.
Yeah.
And so that launched it. So, you know, everybody that owns an airplane owns a couple cars or a motorcycle and everything else. So it led into cars. And I actually left that business. It was called Spectrum Detailing. It was in it. And I called it that because we did the full spectrum of detailing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so we left that. I sold that business at age 19, made some money on it, said I was on to bigger and better things. I was going to become a millionaire, multimillionaire by the time I'm 25, I'm done with this detailing stuff.
Right.
And I found out it was a little harder than that. And so, you know, I went into the window tinting industry, okay. had success there, and then bounced back in the late 90s, bounced back into detailing.
Nice. So I know you've mentioned before a couple of times on your podcast that so I'm trying to just try to figure out, because so you left detailing, went to window tinting, came back into detailing. And I know you've mentioned a couple of times before that you actually had a 9-to-5er type job.
I did.
Where did that fall in to? What was your 9-to-5? Because I don't think I've ever heard you mention it.
You know, I'd sold our window covering business. It grew. I grew it into more than just, we did blinds, shades, shutters, a lot of flat glass window tinting, and then automotive window tinting. And I had a bigger company buy me out, and I was like, okay, I'm 20 something years old. What the hell do I do now? And so I took off like any, you know, I bought another nice car, and I went to Hawaii for about 3 months, hung out there, and came back and said, you know, I'm going to go get a big corporation job.
Right.
And I'm going to learn big numbers. So I went to work for a company out of Ireland, and I just worked. They hired me. I didn't have my degree at the time. They only hired degreed people. I must have impressed them. Within 6 months, I went from just an outside sales position to they're acquiring businesses left and right here in the United States, North America. Oh, wow. And I went in and became the director of business development for all of their new business, either businesses we were developing or businesses that we are buying.
Oh, cool.
And it was a hardcore 5 years. I really loved it. A lot of people, you know, I took it. I knew it was going to be short term. I didn't tell them that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way I grew up, you know, my Italian grandma, I remember, you know, I got the job. She didn't believe me because I had, you know, company car expense account, was traveling all over the place. And I remember going to see, you know, Sunday dinner and telling my mom and grandma that I was, you know, I was quitting and starting my own gig back up. And it, you know, the way I grew up was you just didn't do that, you know.
Yeah.
You kept with it. So, you know, that career, it was a company called Oldcastle. And if you go into Home Depot, they, one of the companies they make is bricks. They make paver bricks.
Okay.
They're huge into it, but they, you know, they were into, we built marinas, we built piers. Los Angeles Harbor. We did a lot of the concrete on that.
Oh, cool.
We did paver bricks, and then we had a glass company. So we did a lot of varied things, but By 5 years in, I was just bored out of my mind. Okay. I was like, man, I mean, I had a great job. They appreciated me. They treated me great. But I felt like I never had a hamster as a kid. I always wanted one, just couldn't. We had enough cockroaches. We could have kept them fed. But we took and I felt like a hamster, dude.
Right.
As they would take and ring the bell, and I'd go up to the little hamster wheel and get on it and trot on that little wheel. And then ding, they, you know, and I had a lot of freedom, but I still had to report to somebody.
Right.
And I was still making somebody millions of dollars and it wasn't me.
Detailers. The entry-level coating game started in 2016 with Anyo Ceramic Coating. With its unique single-layer composite technology, Anyo allowed detailers to achieve greater levels of success faster. But in 2021, Anyo, along with Y-Wax and CC105, received a facelift. Now, under the HyperClean Ceramics line, Y-Wax's Uno, Anyo has become Dos, and CC105 is now Tres. Being a 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year single layer, that's right, detailers, single layer ceramic coating. Pick yours up at the Detail Supply app. And if you mention Detail 15, you will save 15% off your purchase. So go to the Detail Supply app and pick up Uno, Dos, Tres, and use the code Detail15 to save 15%. Off your total package.
And so, you know, I told my wife I was really into cars, never got out of detailing, just got out of professionally. And I came home and I said, hey, I want to jump back in. I'm going to go back into the private jet sector and real high-end cars. So we moved to Sun Valley, Idaho. I wanted to be in a place where there's a lot of money.
Right.
We're an outdoor and skiing family. I wanted to be somewhere where we could take and, you know, in the Rocky Mountains where, you know, we could enjoy our passions. But I could take and change. I had no, at the time, all I wanted to do was make an impact on detailing for me.
Right.
Because back then, none of us detailing was really, we're janitors. And the janitors in the building didn't talk to each other.
Right.
And so I decided, hey, man, I want to go deep water on this thing. I want to take it to a level. I knew it had to be about service. I wanted to, you know, John Nordstrom's. The grandson of the founder of Nordstrom's department stores was one of my clients.
Oh, okay.
And I told him, I said, hey, man, I want to bring the Nordstrom touch to everything I do in detailing. And he really taught me about Nordstrom's and their kind of how Nordstrom's kind of built up what they built. And really, it was all about your culture. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, how do I build a culture up with one person? He goes,
yeah,
you build it with the idea that you're going to have more joining you.
Right.
And you have to be that culture. And so that's where we went. And so we just started real high end. And I wasn't afraid to raise my prices. I knew I started out matching the highest guy in town, which was like a third of what he should have been. So I stayed there for a year, built up my reputation, and then bam, we turned up the volume.
Yeah. That's the one thing I've you know, gained from you in listening to your podcasts. You know, back and forth here and there is that you, that's the one thing you preach, right? Is definitely the, what everybody says, know your worth. Right. And that you've always were like, look, if this is the top, this is where I'm going to start, you know, kind of deal. You know, and I kind of wish I would have heard that from you a few years ago, because I, you know, like I started, cause I was unsure when I left the car wash, like, I didn't think anybody was paying more. I mean, shoot, we were only charging like $200 for a full detail at the car wash, you know, full interior detail and a buff and wax kind of deal. So I was like, man, you know, that kind of money, I was unsure of myself. So like I started low, and, but then once I realized and got my, you know, learned a little bit more, I jumped up and I learned a little bit more and I jumped up and I learned a little bit more and I jumped up to where now I feel that I'm, you know, at that premium level. But every time that you say that, you know, that I've heard you say that, that you were just like, I'm starting a premium level, you know, and then I'll figure it out kind of deal. I kind of wish I would have heard that from you about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Me too, though. Right. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's Chris, you know, my hitman. He always says that, hey, it's, you know, Rennie's an overnight success, 30 years in the making.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That. You know, I started out the low guy, but, you know, I'll be real honest. I would love to take credit that it was all me. I surrounded myself. I was the dumbest dude at the table. Whenever, right. When I was young, you know, I hung out with people that were way above, you know, my level. And I, right, shut my mouth and I listened. I respected them. Some of them were, you know, in their 70s and 80s. And, man, the thing I got off these men and women, and it's really important that I say this as a guy, is I – value the opinion from women. My mom and grandma raised me, right? But right. I went to successful women, and here's why. they don't have the testosterone buildup that we have.
Right. You're exactly right. And one thing that I listened to, I don't remember the episode, but you had the Women of Detailing on or whatever, and you guys kind of did like a little round table or whatever. And one of the things that you said definitely resonated with me, because I felt that way when I ran the car wash. So one of the things that you said was that the women in the industry bring the testosterone down, right? And that was one of the things that I noticed running the car wash, because I would get, you know, the owners were like, why are you hiring so many girls? Why are you hiring so many girls? You know, and I'm like, well, look at the guys, look how they're behaving. Look how they're not just being a bunch of, you know, because when there were no girls there, like, and it was just guys, like everybody was just being, you know, jackass, you know, like, you know, we're having fun, we're being idiots, whatever. But you sprinkle a couple of girls in and then everybody's mellow, they calm down. So when you said that, I was brilliant.
Alex, that was brilliant, especially in a car wash, that you recognize that. Because listen, you know, I've got three daughters. One of them just called me. And can I brag for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
My 26-year-old daughter, dude, she's, you know, Marine. She went to the Marine Corps. She just got her first. She's a professional helicopter pilot. And she just got her first gig. So she's done with her bachelor's. She's got her license. 1 year ago this week, she got her private helicopter license. She just finished up her commercial. She just finished up her instructor. And awesome. Out of 20-plus candidates, she got the job.
Oh,
and 5 minutes before I come in here, I hear it. And I listen to her because she's one of the most manly women or men both that I've ever met.
Right.
That girl's shaking her hand, but she is 100% a woman.
Right.
But she brings a whole nother level. All my daughters do. My wife does. A lot of women in the industry right now. I mean, I don't even want to name them because I'll miss one.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
But we're at a point now where it's like, guys, wow, look at this. And yeah. the fact that you recognize that back, how many years ago was that?
This is going back to, let's see, this is going back to 2001, 2002.
Oh, you're way ahead of your time. Yeah. Way ahead. And it's, you know, and so it tickles me because I'll tell you, Mrs. Mason. So Mrs. Mason, you know, we lived in a pretty, we all grew up pretty tough, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the Mason family, they came up in our own hometown, Colton, California. And Mr. Mason started a company that they did roofing materials. They built the roofing materials. We had a wash that went through town, and they were just east of town. They were self-made millionaires. And it was, I took in, they would let us swim in their pool because we didn't have pools.
Right.
But I mowed their lawn from the time I was about 7 or 8 all the way up until I was in high school.
Okay.
And I remember watching her and then Winnie Bartel too, two women. They're very classy, but they're very kind of get in your face if you got sideways with them.
Yeah.
And I picked up a lot of my traits on my making a business. I don't care if you're mowing lawns or detailing a car or you're Elon Musk building a car.
Right.
You've got to look at marketing the way a woman looks at it, because they honestly, their outlook is so fresh.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really cool that we got, you know, guys like you and these people that are recognizing it. And then these powerful women that are making the boys shaking their boots.
Oh yeah.
With profits per hour. How cool is that?
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of girls, women, ladies, that I see, you know, in the different forums or the different groups and things like that, that I'm just like, wow, you know, and one of the things that I've done with this podcast is I always try to, so out of the 9 guests that I pick for the season, I always try to find at least one girl, one lady, one woman who wants to jump on. Sometimes we get couple, you know, it just kind of goes, but that's always my goal, is to try and find at least have one on the podcast to kind of talk to them and you know, get their ideas and things like that. I mean, it's you know, I've been blown away by many of the women in this industry.
Unreal.
More so than the guys.
I gotta go back to you. You just said 9 spots. Am I one of 9 spots like for a season?
You are.
Oh, dude. Like, yeah. I'm honored.
So I do nine, and then the 10th one is the topic. So like what we did with you and Dan, that's the cap off of the season, because, and I kind of did it that way because I wanted to do the topic. I wanted it to be every 10th episode. So I figured, you know what, like I'll run it as a 10 episode season. So I do nine guests, I do the topic, and then I'll take a week or two off while I prepare the next group. But usually it's not, taking it off, because me and Bruno do another episode that's called What's on Your Mind, and we'll come up with a topic. We'll bring somebody on that we feel kind of fits that topic or maybe would be good talking about that topic. So technically I do two episodes a week. So even when I take time off of the Q&A ones, Bruno and I are still doing at least What's on Your Mind.
There's another great dude, man. You look at a guy that's come, you know, into the market, and you'll, Dan, I mean, that was a blast being with him on the show. I mean, you know, everybody concentrates on who they don't like, and this guy's arrogant, and this guy's the, you know what, concentrate on who you do. But we got so many great people. Dan and I had a ball. It was so cool to reconnect with them.
That's awesome.
Bruno's just, I mean, it's just amazing. And it's like, here you and I are. I mean, you've got a podcast. I got a podcast. Is it competition? No, it's not competition. No, it's good information.
It's not, you know, I mean, like Marty is over at Pints and Polishing. Like he's a good friend. He's got a podcast. You know, like I wanted mine to kind of be like a, you know, like if we were sitting somewhere having a drink, you know, getting to know each other. That's what I wanted this podcast to be. I wanted to be able to get to know people that I see, that blow me away or inspire me, or, you know, that I look up to or whatever kind of deal. You know, yeah, I mean, listen, Billy wants to do a podcast. I'm trying to push Billy to get his podcast up and going.
He was just on ours. He killed him. I mean, he's such a great guy.
Yep. Yep.
You know, there's, I mean, Justin's got his, the more we should be at a point now, and you're a living example of this, is that, you know, get along, man. There's competition. What's competition? You know what competition is getting your market so developed that you're developing new detailing clients.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to push in and not fix your prices, but charge the appropriate price. That didn't happen 20 years ago.
Nope.
It's happening now. It's awesome.
Right.
It's like, it's because of guys like you that are going out and opening discussions up, and people get to learn off those discussions. Look, we're sitting here talking, I'm taking notes.
Yeah. So my next question, I want to go to that big giant banner hanging behind you, because that's one of the main things that you are kind of known for. So how did the mafia start? Like, where did the idea come up for, like, we're going to create this mafia, you know, mafioso type deal? So when and how did that start?
So going back, is my mom's 100% Italian.
Okay.
And my grandpa was a made dude. 1959, he was on the criminal watch list for LA for the mafioso. And he was a captain and capo in the Dipolito family. So I grew up with that. He died when I was really young. But I grew up with these stories, the family members, the dinners. And that group, I'm sure there was violence involved in it, but it wasn't like you see in the movies. You know what I'm saying? They were in the business. And so we were talking. I got interviewed back in 2005, and I just started training. And back then, we had a little more of an attitude. We were kind of a little more asshole-like because the industry was. And so we were meeting energy with energy. And somebody in an interview asked me one day, they said, well, your group doesn't talk much. And I said, well, we're kind of like the mafia. We just do, take care of business. We don't talk.
Right.
And I got off of it and I went and got a coffee, believe it or not. It was at Dutch Brothers. Dutch Brothers coffee is kind of a West Coast thing.
Okay.
They got what they call the Dutch mafia. And I looked at the sign and I thought about the interview and I went, Detail Mafia.
Nice.
And the skull, believe it or not, the skull has meaning to me. You're one of the first people that I'm going to ever share this with.
Okay.
Is that I've been involved in search and rescue in the military for my adult life.
Right.
You know, since I was a very, very, very young man, I've seen a lot of shit. And that skull reminds me on how blessed I am to be alive And the price that was paid by many other people for the freedom and the air that we got in our lungs.
Right.
And so a skull to me is not a demonic thing. It's a power thing.
Right.
It means life, because as long as, listen, all of us came into this world, all of us are going to go out.
Yep.
And one of these days, that's going to be what's left of me, you know? But until then, I'm going to live my life with absolute passion. And it was kind of a cool image. You know, yeah. I like the image.
Yeah.
But it does, the skull has meaning to me. And now we're 200 plus strong worldwide. We're getting ready to start a European training division, hopefully in 2022.
Okay.
So we're going to go hopefully Australia maybe, you know, in 2022, 2023.
Nice.
But, you know, it's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And we take an oath. And believe it or not, the oath is you can't become a master detailer in our group. It takes maybe 5 to 10 years to become a master.
Right.
And you can't even become made. So you're not even mafia when you come through training. It takes you at least 2 years to become a made guy. Even the girls are made guys.
Right.
And here's part of the rules. If you're not giving back to the industry and you're not being a good citizen and you're not being a good human, you can't belong to our club.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is to become a master with us isn't just about your technical skills. Is that, you know, we really preach, because I wasted so much of my life just working hard, not smart.
Right.
And I don't want anybody else to miss out on the things I did. And so we preach lifestyle. So you can't move your way up in the ranks unless A, yourself, you're living a good lifestyle. And then B, you're preaching and teaching others to do the same thing. So, you know, we do a lot of nonprofit. We do a lot with veterans. Scotty up in Maine. Operation Slayshine this year. We took vets, military families, current deployed families, and we completely decked out their cars. And we did it in 6 or 7 locations, don't quote me. And each family got about $2,000 worth of goodies for their families. Wow. So their cars were decked out, and then we got all kinds of stuff donated to the family. So, you know, a lot of people look at that and they get the wrong impression, because a lot of times we don't toot our own horns about what we're doing. But in the background, I've become a lot more vocal on sharing what the men and women in this group do, because it's some of my best friends in the group. The group's made up of a lot of former military, a lot of reservists like my wife and I. There's a lot of police officers. There's a lot of firefighters. And then believe it or not, there's a lot of people that have done time, that have been to prison. And it's, you know, there's some of our, and it's pretty cool to see. We just had the situation in training, where we had a student here that had done time for some mistakes he'd made in his life. And we had a police officer as a mentor here that was part of the training. And to see them getting along so good in a past life,
right?
They wouldn't have mixed so well.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, it's pretty cool. So that's what the mafia is all about. And there's one way in. He's got to go through training. And I'll tell you, it's a, you know, I've trained almost 500 people. It's only 200 strong. Is our demands for continued education in community service are high, and a lot of people they're not they just can't do it, and that's cool too.
Right,
that's cool too.
Well, I know you had I think it was a week or two back when you did one of your podcasts in the middle of the day. Well, middle of the day for me, I guess it's first thing in the morning for you. And you guys had the training. You had one of my buddies on with you, Yasser.
Oh man, dude.
Yeah,
He's awesome, man.
I met Yasser in 2015 at Auto Geeks Detail Fest. We were at the O&R demonstration together, you know, and then he kind of came up to me when I was purchasing some stuff and, you know, hey, what'd you get? And we kind of exchanged numbers. And then my daughter Haley, she does competition cheer. So every year we go up to Atlanta. Well, most every year we go up to Atlanta for one of the competitions. So, I think it was the first 2 years I went up there. He stopped by the hotel we were staying at, and we chit chatted for a little bit. I missed him the last 2 years that I went. I go and see Aaron Knox now. When I'm up there, I go see him, but, Yasser actually messaged me when we were up there this year. And I was like, what are you doing up here? I was like, cheerleading again, man. But he was kind of busy. I couldn't get to him.
He's such a great guy.
Yeah, you know? He is.
And he doesn't, I won't mention because I think he gets he's a private guy kind of.
Yeah.
His videos are great. I mean, yep. he's a great soul. I mean, he's one of these guys that are just nice. He's in the business for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Really smart guy. Very versed in life. He's a 360 person. He knows a lot about a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely for sure. So kind of going into that, you mentioned a little bit the charity style work. So is that how the preservation of Air Force One and all the jets kind of came about, or how did that end up coming about?
Yeah, no, that was a big project. That was before I was training anybody. That was us by ourselves. Okay. You know, today I'll give credit to this guy named, I'm going to share the story.
Yeah.
Joe Clark's his name. So, you know, on the end of wings now they turn up on aircraft, right?
Yeah.
Called winglets. Well, his company, Aviation Partners, were the guys that put winglets on the map. Okay. So he was a long-term client. I didn't know what he did. I just know he had some bank and he had a lot of nice rides. He had a lot of nice things with, it didn't matter the wings. It could have a jet or propellers or anything else. And some nice cars. We got along really well. I knew he was somebody, but he hadn't brought me in his inner circle yet. So he was on the board of directors for Boeing. He was on the board of directors for the Boeing Museum up there, the Museum of Flight.
Right.
They had the original Air Force One that Eisenhower flew. First president ever to have a jet. That plane serviced Kennedy, Johnson, all the way through Nixon, a little bit into Ford and Carter.
Okay.
Pretty historic. Out of all the Air Force Ones, it was on the tarmac the day that Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, wow.
The strike marks from his coffin are still on one side. They weren't sure what aircraft they're going to put him in. So it's got a lot of history. So that project actually was a paid gig. They called me up. I was really into Brightwork aluminum polishing at the time. This is 2002, late 2002. And Joe said, hey, this is, you know, they're thinking about painting over the aluminum and it's going to cover up history. And they can't, all the Boeing polishers, they can't get it right. So would you come up and see what you can do? So I got it right. We did a test spot. Oh, nice. And they're blown away. And so that was a four paid gig. It was $250,000 detail job in 2003. But what happened is Joe took and was smarter than me. That's why he was a good mentor. We, you know, God rest his soul. He passed away last March. Oh, he talked me into donating $150,000 to Boeing in the museum. And taking the job down to $100,000 job just to cover my expenses. And he says, I'm going to take and send President Bush a note. We're going to get you officially named the detailer of Air Force One on a presidential order. And he made it happen.
Wow.
And so that went on as a we donate it now. But that's, it's quite, even today with all the airplanes that we take care of up there, if we were to charge for it, it'd easily be a $500 million to $750,000 project.
Oh, wow.
And all the mafia, we all donate our time and our money.
Right.
And you know, it's a huge task to keep the insurance on it. It's a $300 million artifact.
Wow.
So just the one plane's worth $300 million, my insurance company. I have to convince them every year, you know, that we're not going to mess it up. We keep doing it. Thank God. So,
right.
You know, that's where it started. And then I got called in. I actually got my Joe wrote a letter to Bush. Bush invited me to a luncheon. So I got to meet a sitting president.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And then we got to work on the 747s.
Nice.
That Biden flies right now that will be replaced here pretty quick. So that was an honor. And we've worked on a couple other pretty extreme. But that one right there, that one was because of its history. And we've met the pilots. We've met the crew.
Oh, wow.
It's emotionally attached to me as one of the biggest things that I already did work wise in my career, in my entire life. If you go down my last breath, you know, if I make it to 100 years old, besides being a husband and a dad and a grandfather and a, you know, all the things that are going to happen by the time of my last days, that will be on that final list because of the impact we've made on American history. And because the impact it's made on detailers' lives.
Right, right. How do you go about choosing the detailers that come and do that with you? Because I know that's one of those things that it's not just everybody gets to come.
No. It's really tough this year because we're still, you know, last year it was on the books because of COVID. We're trying to get it done this year. It's going to be really tough because of Boeing's doing a lot of social distancing, you know, stuff right now. We just don't think we can get in there and do it. We're not sure. You know, the selection process used to be, and it still is, the skills. So we've got different teams. We got what's called finishing team. They're the only ones that touch the aluminum in Air Force One. There's probably only been about 50 people in the last 20 years, close to 20 years, that's worked on the aluminum on that. It's really, you take the worst black paint, you know, tuxedo, Tesla black paint that's real sensitive. It's 1,000 times more sensitive.
Oh, wow.
And it takes us 3 to 5 years to really get those detailers skilled enough to where they can get it down. So those are specialty teams. We have to get back a certain percentage. And then really what we do anymore is it's your heart for detailing. Okay. Is we go out and we select you because you are doing a lot to your, with your community. You're doing a lot in the detailing community. You're a good person. You're you're a team player. And then your detailing skills, because those are all things, believe it or not, we're missing. A lot of entrepreneurs are missing these first things. Skills are easy to learn. It's all those other things when you have a package deal that come together that are more difficult. So that's, we go off of that. And right now we're going through withdrawals because, I mean, you know, all of us, none of us have been together for how long, but our team especially, because that's a big event where we bring 60 of us all together for, a week. And a cool factor is back in 2016 was the 100th anniversary of Boeing. And we went up there and we worked on 19 aircraft that year. We were there for 2 weeks. Oh, and half the team, 30 of us, stayed there the entire 2 weeks. And it was all volunteer.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool.
No, that's really cool. I think that I think it was like 2017 was Yasser's first year out there, something like that. Cause I remember I talked to him about it. And he said it was a lot of fun. It was a cool thing.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, we've got people of all faiths and backgrounds. Every morning we open up with a morning prayer, and it's one day it's a Christian, the next day it's a Catholic, the next day it's a Mormon, the next day it's a Muslim, the next day it's a Jewish guy. I mean, so we all come together and we all honor each other. And that's why, you know, the group is, I mean, if you look at us, you know, we got people on the fringes naturally. It's a group, you know, you're always going to have that. And some of us, there's a couple people in the group that me and them don't get along. Nobody else knows about it though. You know?
Right.
But you know, it's that week up there in Seattle it's powerful to see people grow and to see people, you know, cause here's the deal is, you know, we've got about in the group right now, we got about 25 millionaires in the group. And to see these, and some people don't know who they are, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty easy, but not always. Cause you know, the average millionaire doesn't live like a millionaire. That's why they're a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not spitting game. They're not out rolling up, and they're actually living a very modest life and putting money away and investing.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's pretty cool to see, you know, people interact, and you know, you've got a young entrepreneur that's working with a seasoned millionaire, you know, that's been there, done that, and has created this micro empire, you know, out of their detailing efforts.
Yeah.
And they get to know them and they're like, you know, their head just explodes.
No, that's awesome. So how did you first go about starting to do trainings? Like when did that come in your career that you were like, hey, you know, we've got something going here. We can train people and help them get better.
You know, it started out with, I was putting open garages on. I'll give credit where credit's due. I'd come down to, you know, I was born and raised in Southern California. I was living in Idaho at the time. I come down, Mike Phillips. I'd known of Mike Phillips for years, right? And this is 20 plus years ago. I come down when I was down here seeing my mom and hanging out. I go down to his open garages he had to have at McGuire's, and I was blown away. So I went back up to Idaho, and we had a shop down here in Redlands. We'd have open garages for our customers.
Okay.
And so we were putting on these micro trainings and stuff like that, and I was loving it. You know, I'm an instructor in search and rescue. I'm an instructor in the military. They've spent a lot of money, you know, on teaching me how to teach. And so I was like, hey, man, you know, what do you think about if we start a franchise? A lot of people don't know this. So we actually franchised Attention to Details. I had three locations. We started three more up. And I quickly realized that, I needed somebody else to run it because it was a glorified babysitting job.
Right.
And that, I don't mean that for the people buying the franchise. I mean that for me.
Yeah.
I needed somebody to service them better. And it was eating up. I was up 20 hours a day doing it.
Oh, wow.
And then I needed about another $250,000 in the bank. and I didn't have either. And so we quickly decided, let's not do that. We sold off the franchise, stopped doing that. We looked at doing a licensing program. That wasn't going to work at the time. And so I had Matt Williams out of Marysville, Ohio. He's still in our group. He's still detailing. 2005 reached out to me. The forums stuff, you know, Facebook wasn't going. And he reached out and he goes, "Hey dude, I'd love to just come shadow you, you know, for a week." And I said, "Well, I don't have that. You know, we're running a busy shop. We're doing $1 million a year, but I'll tell you what, I'll spend 5 days with you and train you." And it launched it. Oh, and nice. It's grown now to where, you know, we're blessed. We're booking out right now we're setting the 2022 calendar, because here probably in the next week or two, we're going to be completely sold out of all spots for this year.
Wow.
And so how often, you know, we take it.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
So, I think where we're excelling in this is that we don't just teach people skills, is we teach life skills, and we teach people to become, you know, they engage here 5 days, but really the relationship really starts at day six, because all, you know, we put on two online continuing education events every single week. We average 1.5 a week. And so we put a lot of education events. Now that COVID, we're having Jersey Weekend where we go back, we do hands-on. We're having our main event following SEMA this year. And we've spent a lot of time on entrepreneurship and developing ourselves into much better entrepreneurs. And so I think that's where we really succeeded, is because, again, I've been able to take, you know, I became a millionaire off of detailing, you know, and I'm not saying that to brag. Back when I started, dude, we didn't make shit. I mean, you've been in it long enough. We're all eating shit. We didn't have crap. We didn't, and I just didn't want that life, you know? And so, that's what we preached, but I did it wrong. Even though I became, you know, worth money, I did it the wrong way.
Right.
I did it the hard way, and I don't want anybody to do it the hard way. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to teach you to do it a lot easier than what I did it.
Right. So how many trainings do you guys do a month, a year, whatever?
We do 12 trainings a year, once a month.
Okay.
And it's only four people. And this is the amazing part, is we've got we just started a new program. We've got a mentor there, which is a senior mafia member. We've got a intern, which is a junior mafia member. And we've got my wife, we've got myself, and we got Chris. So it's almost a one-to-one training. Now, not all of us, like on an interior day, I come in and out because Diane's working with them.
Right.
But on all the paint days and everything else, I'm there full time. And so it's a really powerful, but I'll tell you, it's 60 hours in 5 days. And you're going to walk out of here worn out, and your brain's going to be on fire. It's going to be mush.
Yeah.
And we want to see instant change in people when they leave. And it rocks my world. Matter of fact, if you look, there's a sign back here. It's still got all the people's names on from those last training. We started a new one this next Monday, but I leave them on, and it's really hard to go erase those names off for the next class.
Right.
Really hard, because we bonded with the previous class so much.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I mean, if you're spending that kind of time together, I mean, shoot, sometimes if I spend 5 or 6 hours with somebody doing something, I'm bond to them pretty well. So I get that. Now the search and rescue thing, when did you get into that? I know you're a reservist, so I know that's part of that, but when did that all come about?
Yeah, so for the guard, I'm actually right now, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm an officer in charge of all ground search and rescue for training.
Uh-huh.
But search and rescue, I got into search and rescue when I was 20, serious outdoors person. My uncle, I didn't grow up knowing my dad, but I knew all the stories. But my dad and his brothers had a really rough go. They lost both of their parents, young, their mom was killed in an automobile accident with all three of them in the car. When my grandpa was over fighting, on Utah, and he landed at on Utah beach, she was killed. They were put in orphanages. They faced just these things that were, I think my life's been a little challenging. Then I hear his story, and I'm like, how'd they get through it? But they lost a brother, their youngest brother, which is kind of he was the angel of the group. He was a special person, but his best friend was a guy named Ken Hubbs. Ken Hubbs played in the major leagues. He was the most sought after. He was a four-year letterman in five high school sports. He got all 12 Ivy League colleges at the time, gave him offers in three sports, full scholarship offers in three sports, anyone he wanted to play. Wow. He went into the Cubs, played for the Cubs. He was deathly afraid of flying. Him and my uncle were best friends. They were flying back from Utah. Plane went down and killed them both. And I just remember my family talking about how they couldn't find him in the mountains of Utah, and it took a couple weeks to find him. And I was really into, you know, mountaineering. I was getting into it big time, and always been into outdoors. And I think that pain of hearing it through my mom and my grandma and, you know, my brothers, because they're 8 and 12 years older than me, is it kind of, I went and applied. And at the time I went through the academy, Sheriff's Academy, became a reserve deputy, was put on the, probably, I think I'm biased, Central Search and Rescue out of San Bernardino County, biggest county in the country. And I was put on what I think we were the total black sheep of the county.
Okay.
Like, we did things unorthodox. There might've been a little alcohol involved sometimes when we were training. There was a lot of rebellion back in the day. But when things really got bad, we were the first team to put our hands up to go into really bad situations and pull people out. So nice. I had some amazing mentors that just got me hooked on it. I just sat through a 2-hour meeting today. I'm a what's called a National Association for Search and Rescue lead evaluator and trainer here in California, both for the military and for, you know, other counties, for jurisdictions. It's still my life work. Sure. I just absolutely, it's volunteer, search and rescue volunteer. And it's 90% of the search and rescue in the world is volunteer.
Right.
And, you know, we see morbid things. I've seen more death than what I could count. It's a burden that I carry with me, but I've learned to carry it. It's something that a lot of people, the gene's not there. I've got a chromosome either missing or an added one, or, you know, it's weird. There's about, you know, for every 100 search and rescue personnel come in, there's probably 10 of us that will be lifetime.
Right.
And those lifers, you know, some people think we're morbid. Something people think we're because of what we see, but we're not. We just want to bring the person back to their families.
Right.
Whatever the circumstances are. And so it's something, you know, Diane does it too. My wife does it too. And I live it, man. I don't know if you can pick up the, I mean, I just, you know, being outdoors and, you know, I'm 55 years old and I have to, you know, I keep myself in relatively good shape. And I just, you know, now I'm trying out for a new position with the Sheriff's Department. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not, but, you know, I hope I do. I'm not going to curse it by saying what it is, but
yeah,
it's one of the hardest things to get. And it's, if most guys trying out for this are in their 20s or maybe 30s, you know, and here I am in my mid 50s going, I think I want to go do crazy shit in helicopters.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, it, I often say, is that, you know, so many of us as entrepreneurs, doesn't matter what industry you're in, is we're really good at taking withdrawals out of our local communities.
Yeah.
But we don't put any deposits back in. And, you know, it's my weird way of putting in a big deposit back in. And, you know, we had, my first mission was Jerry Negrete, a missing Boy Scout. He was 12 years old. Now at the time I was 21. Uh-huh. So there's only 9 years difference between the two of us, right? And I'm out looking for this kid. We never found him. He's on the mountain. We found where he is. We know where he is. Matter of fact, I'm trying to get a bunch of us old timers to go back up and get somebody to airlift us in one more time, because we're starting to lose those guys that really knew the mission.
Right.
And before his parents die, I want to try to go one more time and find him. And, you know, I got a picture of him here, you know, in my shop. I carry Jared with me in my heart every day. And there's huge guilt that I carry, because 17 days into the search, they had to cancel the search. We couldn't find them, 300 of us.
Oh, wow.
But there was about 40 of us that were there every day, day in, day out. And, you know, Christina Park, we just found her body. She went missing. She's abducted. I had one of my buddies that ended up getting killed on duty. He called me up about 5-6 years ago. We were just getting into GPS when Christina Park went missing. And he goes, "Hey man, you want to know how close you were to Christina's body?" And she washed up. And you carry those images, you know, those people with you. And here's what it does also for business. This shit ain't hard.
Yeah.
Is business, you know, we complain and it gets us all worked up. We cry baby and we do this and that. But, you know, when you go see somebody either struggling for their life to stay alive or they lost that battle, that shit's real. And that shit's really hard.
Yeah.
Not what we do. It's not hard. And so I think that going out and kind of doing extreme shit just kind of balances me out. I love getting in the uniforms, a little chubbier than I used to be, you know. I feel like, you know, Mr. Incredible, when he put on his uniform, the first one, and the belt pops off, you know, right. I'm a little thicker than I used to be, but that's okay. I don't need to move. That's why I'm going into helicopters. So I don't have to move up and down the hills as hard.
Right. Exactly. I got you. So what is something that most detailers don't know about you that might surprise them to learn?
I'm really sensitive. I'm real emotional. Uh-huh. When I see somebody that has come to training fail, which isn't high, we got a really high success rate.
Right.
When I see somebody struggling, it really bothers me. When I see somebody getting picked on, that's a new person.
Right.
And that's why I've been off Facebook, is because I was going to go ballistic, and I had to stop, because it's not just our industry, but our industry, it's real bad. Worse than others.
It is. Yeah.
But you know, I hate seeing people get picked on. I hate seeing people tell themselves that they can't be where I'm at, because right. dude, I was a special ed kid with no dad, didn't have much thought of myself. Was told I was going to be a nothing. I've made so many big mistakes. And if I can do it, I won't say anybody can. You just got to have the balls to go out and do it. And you got to believe right. in yourself. The biggest thing, I always knew I could, I didn't believe I would.
Gotcha.
Is that if there's somebody listening, I don't care if one person listening right now gets something out of this, is if you're thinking in your mind, man, I know I can go do that, but I'm probably not, stop it. Because you know what? Think you can, find out a way. And you know what? Chase the money, dude. What I mean by that is do it with integrity. But what I found out for a long time is growing up poor is there's kind of a guilt to having money.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy. And I guilted myself into not being successful. I actually sabotaged myself on a couple deals because I didn't think I deserved it. And man, I'll tell you what, there's no sabotage for you. If you're listening right now, is that I don't care if you're special ed. I don't care if you went to prison. I don't care if you've got a lot. We just had an attorney come through training. I don't care what your background is. It's in the back of you. There's a reason God put our eyes on the front of our face, not on the back of our face.
Right.
Is that so you can look forward. That you're in my God bless Delaney, my middle daughter. She's an officer in the Air Force. I got to salute her. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
She's badass. She told me a couple of years ago, and it stuck with me. She goes, Dad, you spend too much time looking at what went wrong and not what's going right. And yeah. I just looked at her and I went, oh shit. You know, I was like 53, 52. And I did. I spent so much time worried about what happened in the past and said, man, if that would have happened, where would I be? Well, right. Who cares that it happened? Own it and then go make it happen anyway. It happened.
Well, you might appreciate this, because one of my favorite quotes is Sammy Hagar on the live right here, right now, when they're doing right now. Or, well, no, I don't think they're doing right now. I forget the song they're doing, but he ends up talking about right now. Right. And his whole thing is stop worrying about the past. You know, tomorrow, yesterday's dead and gone. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So right now is what you need
right
to,
now.
What you need to worry about, what you need to.
Hey, you're a Hagar fan. You're a Van Hagar fan.
I'm a Van Hagar fan. Yeah.
So here's the deal.
I'm a Van Halen fan, but I came into it at the Van Hagar era. So I kind of, you know, Sammy's more my favorite.
It's so, you see my Chevelle over here, right? It's this cream, ugly cream color, right? It's a weird color.
Yeah.
I bought it like that. It's grown on me over 24 years, you know, but I'm sitting there and we're on the grass at Monterey at the Quail Invitational, you know, and there's a LaFerrari that's that same color. And I'm looking at it, there's all these red and black LaFerraris, and then there's one vanilla cream.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it and I go, I'm just, every time I walk by it, it's so odd. It's cool. So yeah. I see something come up on my peripheral and I go, dude, I kind of hated this color and now I love it. And he goes, yeah, well, my dad ordered it. You know, I hated it too. And now I love it. I turn around. It was Sammy Hagar's son
that
builds cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, he's, you talk about a guy that lived underneath, you know, his dad's shadow and went out and did it on his own.
Yep.
I mean, he's doing killer, but I couldn't, Alex, so many times, here's the deal is I got so many examples. I'm going to throw one up.
Yeah.
And Joe, I'm going to throw two up.
Okay.
I'm going to throw up Justin Lobato.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw up Joab Flores.
Okay.
Now, Joab, you guys probably don't know. He's one of the most – I'm not gay or nothing, but Joab's a real – he's the most photogenic guy in the industry. Buffed okay. out, you know. Let me tell you two different stories. Is that Justin got in a little trouble, and he had to do a little bit of time. And Justin's pretty open about this. He's well known.
Right.
When Justin came to training, man, he was already killing it, you know, but he was working a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember just preaching to him, and Justin's story is amazing because he's making twice the amount working half as much.
Right.
Joab is went into the Navy. He's an immigrant. He went into the Navy, got in a little trouble, had to do a little time. He's Latino. He's got a huge American flag across his right arm. Proud American, but he was doing the same thing. And I talked to both of them. I'm like, listen, you're on the cusp of making it, man, but you got to stop. You got to don't put the brake on. Just get off the accelerator and go on a little vacation. Come back and hit the accelerator again.
Right.
And Joab is the most vacationing dude. He's got a trailer, and him and his family are, I'm not kidding you, it's like every 4 weeks they go somewhere fun.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the dude's done it. He bought a million-dollar home in Orange County, California. And he didn't do that when he was overworking.
Right.
He did that when he started facing that life short, work smart, get what you're worth, know your value, treat people incredible, and create a your business is a production. And if you guys want to look at a production, go look at Justin, what he's doing down in Florida for productions.
Oh, yeah. He's near Disney. He's like hour and a half away from me.
Oh, dude, he shows his cars off. It's incredible what those two individuals, and again, I got others I could tell a story about too, but those are two people that have taken their lives right in front of me over a very short period and have gotten A, more wealthy, and B, aren't spending near as much time doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what made you write a book about detailing?
You know, I wanted to write a book because I was a special ed kid and I talk funny. Uh-huh. I actually am a decent speller, but when I'm typing stuff online, everybody rags on me. I get thinking so fast that my hands, the communication's not there.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. And so I screwed it up. But, you know, I really wanted to write a book because A, there's no really good books talking about business detailing. And B, I wanted to prove that I could, because so many people told me I was going to be a nothing, special ed. I was dumb. They actually, and this was said about me. So it's a derogatory form now, a derogatory saying, but they told my grandma I was retarded, partially retarded. And so the book, and I'm writing another one. I've got about three in the works, but I got a really good one right now that I'm working on right now. The book was just a statement of telling people that it's about business and not about your hands. You're making a living with your hands, but your mind and soul are so much more important.
Nice. Well, it's something that you and I have in common is that we are both, authors. So
it's cool. Now how's your book doing?
Oh, it terrible.
It doesn't matter though. It's a book.
Listen, it really doesn't matter. It's a children's book. I wrote it for my daughter. It's called Sydney versus the Tigers. So we were at the zoo one day when she was, I don't know, 2, 3. And the zoo didn't have tigers, but they had, what did they have? What were they? Cheetahs, or not cheetahs. I can't remember. Dagnabbit. The other one with spots. The other one with spots. And there was this little squirrel running around in their pen. Right. And they're trying to get it. And like the squirrel runs up the tree quicker than the cats can. So it gave me an idea, but I wanted to use tigers because I just like tigers better. And so it's a story about this squirrel who lives in the zoo in the tiger pen, and he's trying to collect his nuts, but the tigers obviously want to eat him. So he has to go around to his friends in the zoo to get his special needs that he needs to be able to combat the tigers to collect his nuts to then get back up in his tree. So it really, like, when I came up with the story, like, I didn't really think about anything. It was just a story, right? I told my kid about it. I wrote it out. One of my high school friends was an illustrator. He illustrated it for me for free. We published it through, you know, a self-publishing type deal that was owned by Amazon. So it's actually on Amazon. And after the story was done, it really kind of hit that it's, you know, a little bit about bullying, you know, the tiger is trying to bully the squirrel. It's really about how you can get through things with your friends, right? Like the squirrel has to go and get his friend's help in the zoo to be able to, you know, kind of deal with these tigers. So yeah, I don't know. I probably maybe sold 30 copies or something like that, but
didn't matter.
But honestly, it didn't matter. It really was just the one episode for this little monkey sitting over here next to me, or the one, that is just, the one book. Yeah. So,
well, that is just, I mean, it, you know, and it's your heart and your soul. And here's the deal is that you don't know where that's going to lead down the road.
Oh yeah. No.
And more so the legacy that it tells your kids is that you did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That how many dads go out, or how many people period go out and make it happen. You made it happen.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
I love the name of it. Just that alone's worth buying it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a follow-up, but we never got to it. And it's called Sydney versus the World. And it's where he decides to leave the zoo and realizes that the zoo is the safe place to be.
Well, you know, I think all of us, the analogy there is, I think all of us have lived a part of our life in that zoo.
Yeah.
And, you know I got bullied a lot, but I only bullied one time. I bullied a guy one time when I was 17 years old. I was about 220 pounds, was bench pressing over 400. I was just a beast, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the only time I ever bullied somebody, and this dude kicked my butt so bad. and he didn't even – I still don't know if he hit me or kicked me.
Right.
But when I came to, that will tell you how bad he got me. And I think he only did it one or two, is I just told him to keep going. And he helped me up. He helped brush me off. He was a gentleman.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's the first time I've ever bullied somebody. And he goes, well, hopefully it's the last time.
Nice.
And it was.
Nice.
Because I'm so anti. I'm the underdog, man. I like, you know, I like seeing the underdog. I like seeing the guys that couldn't, you know, I like seeing the entrepreneur that starts with nothing making it. I also like to see the successful people that started with something make it even more successful. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you're somebody who's done it and seen it all. But what is something that Rennie Doyle is looking forward to learning or doing?
You know, my goal right now is I've got an income goal, is that, you know, Warren Buffett says it best, that you're not wealthy until you're making money, you know, while you sleep.
Right.
And so I've got a dollar amount in my mind, you know, for my life, and compared to, you know, the famous people, it's a pretty small dollar amount, but yeah. I pitched my story, you know, that I made my dollars, you know, 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, so to say. So to get to the point now where I can wake up on a Monday morning, and when I went to bed at 10 o'clock the night before, I can look in the bank, so to say, and there's new money in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. I want to teach more people how to do that.
That's nice.
And whether that be in real estate, you know, I got some incredible mentors, some I pay for, you know, the guys that founded TurboTax, I've got their one of them's cell number.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I've made good friends with people. I was on the show Undercover Billionaire, you know, earlier this year, and did that. I mean, Glenn's become, you know, somebody that I talk to and trust. I mean, so, you know, it's just, so I think, you know, me, I want to teach people the next generation. You know, I'm 55. People say, when are you going to hang it up? Man, what?
Yeah.
What the hell is retirement? You know, I mean, I live such a great life. Sorry, my dogs are going nuts.
No, you're fine.
But here's the deal is that I want to teach the younger generation coming up, and not necessarily younger in age, because we've got, you know, last year it was the highest number of people over the age 60 becoming entrepreneurs in the history of America.
Right.
And so, you know, I want to take and teach anybody that's willing to go out on their own and risk it on how to lower those risks, how to multiply themselves, how to gain money quickly, rapidly, not have to wait. Everybody says, how long were you, what was it before you're profitable? My first freaking week.
Yeah.
I was profitable. When you start with nothing, it's not hard.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, there's what I want to do is that. And I also, now that I'm getting older, is that, you know, when I was younger, when I played football for one of the top high school football programs in the world, for one of the coaches that went into the Hall of Fame. Oh, nice. I always had to prove that I'm not a big dude, and that, yeah, I had to be. So I came up that way. When I got in search and rescue, I wasn't the toughest guy there. Military, I was older when I went in. So I've always had something to prove. So now I want to start proving that, listen, age in our society is not valued.
Right.
And I grew up believing that that was the greatest value. And the men and women I learned from were never even close to my age. They were generations in front,
right,
of me.
Exactly.
And I think that we're missing that in our society and our industry. And also, I hate when freaking people my age or older put down the younger generation, because they're bad at, yeah, there's some pansies out there. There's pansies in my generation.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now the young people we've got coming through training and the entrepreneurs, these young people, they're going to kick our ass.
Nice.
It's as simple as that. And so, you know, I just think that age doesn't matter. I think it's here.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely a mindset.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I want to teach people that you could take being blue collar is okay.
Right.
So, I mean, so there's a lot of things. Matter of fact, I figured it out. I think I can get my bucket list done if I live to 150.
Okay.
But the problem is that every year that goes by, I add to that bucket list. So, you know, at some point I'm going to run out of time, you know,
right.
and so I'm hitting the big ones. But, you know, I think anybody that is interesting is a person that's 360 degrees, meaning they're head spinning and they're, right, interested in everything around them. I mean, there's not enough years. I just could never get bored in life, man. And that's and cool. I love people. I love watching like people like you come on and you start a podcast, you write a book. You reach out to people. You've got all these people from all these different walks of life, and you are reaching out.
Right.
We got Scotty up in Maine. I mentioned him earlier. He does a Monday morning message to our group. I love it, man. He called me yesterday. Hey, man, is that cool? Absolutely. Because here's the deal. If one person gets a cool message out of it, it makes it worthwhile.
Exactly. That's how I feel about this. You know, I mean, we're growing, and it's crazy how just – even just recently, like within the past 2 weeks, how my numbers have jumped, you know, by the 20s in plays or listens. But ultimately it's fun for me. And if one person who listens to this gets something out of it, then great. And I like that, because I do get those phone calls or those text messages from people like, man, you know, the episode last night, or I listened to today or whatever. Man, what you said about this was spot on, and you know, like, I really want to try and do that. Can you explain more about it, kind of deal? So, no, you're exactly right. You know, it's all about, if one person gets it, it's a great thing.
Yeah. Mick, listen, man, you know, what we do is not, you know, I look at the, you know, I've had the honor of taking and preparing troops to go overseas, you know, and something that I've never done and never will do. And I've had the honor of seeing them come home.
Nice.
Is what we do in industry, almost every industry, usually is not life-threatening.
Right.
And, you know, we're lucky that way. That, yeah, when we put, you know, when we put our equipment on in the morning, is that we're not risking our lives doing it, unless you're doing stupid stuff and not wearing gloves, or,
yeah,
you know, not breathing stuff you shouldn't. But my point to that is, we're fortunate. We do things. I mean, Dave, it was an attorney that was here in training just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
He's an attorney. He wants to do what we, for a living, what, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It, I mean, to me, is, I mean, am I the only one that's blown away?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, how cool is that? And we're getting that. We get accountants. We get, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable to see who's coming in and justifying that our industry is very real.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to see people treat it like that. Respect, yeah, the idea. Stop asking what it can do for, you know, what it can do for me. Say what you can do for it. What can you do for our industry?
Right.
That right there is, you got, yeah, a kid with you,
yeah,
you know, having a kid sit there with you while you're doing something, you know, is that you know, our children are going to watch that,
yeah,
and they're going to remember your efforts. And I just think that the more positive examples that we can be, it doesn't matter what aspect of life you're in, is just stop bitching and hating on each other. So what? I like vanilla ice cream. I like chocolate. Yeah. Just because I like something or don't like something doesn't make me wrong.
Well, it's funny. I've kind of gotten away from it, and I need to start saying it a little bit more on the podcast, because I was trying to have it be like the podcast mantra. But a lot of times, like when I'm doing this, I forget to do a lot of things. You know, I'm just running through questions and answers and whatnot. But I was walking through the mall one day, JCPenney's, and in the kids section, there was a shirt that said, "More shine, less shade." And I thought, man, like, what a great saying to use in this industry, because it's almost kind of got a double entendre, right? Like, we want more shine in cars. We don't want shady pictures, you know, that type of stuff. But at the same time, let's more shine. Let's build everybody up. Let's talk good about people, and let's not have the shade. Let's not have, you know, the negativity and things like that. So that's one thing I need to get back into signing off with on this podcast, but you know, falls right into what you were just saying, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I look around, a lot of people don't realize this. When I've teamed up with PNS, you know, is they wanted, we double black wasn't even on the horizon. We didn't know about double black. And when it did come up, I didn't want my name on it. And the reason why is because I was a detailer.
Right.
I was still thinking like that.
Yeah.
And it's been a game changer. And what I enjoy about seeing my name on it, and it's taken a long time to accept this, is that it gives hope. Because when I remember attention to details, Spectrum Detailing, you know, so I've had two different detailing companies, Spectrum and Attention to Details. I remember my first day I hit $100. I remember when I started Attention to Details and I hit my first $1,000 a week. I remember when I first got my first $1,000 detail.
Right.
I remember when I first got my 10,000 job, you know, on a jet. I, you know, when I hit $250,000 on Air Force One, is all that. I go back in time, and we all start out somewhere.
Yeah.
And I look and I say this, you know, as an exit, is that stop thinking small and think, and but also at the same time, realize that the big thinking is going to take a bit.
Yeah.
And the more you surround yourself with smart people, the faster it's going to go.
Right.
If you shut your mouth and open your ears.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think that you say a lot, and it really resonates with me, right, is stop thinking like a detailer and start thinking like an entrepreneur. You know, every time you say that, it kind of makes me, you know, really think like, yeah, you know, I got to stop thinking like, you know, okay, I'm a detailer and I want to do this and I want to do that. It's no, I'm an entrepreneur and I need to make money. I need to do this, you know, type deal. I don't like doing interiors, but you know what? Somebody's going to pay me for it. And we're going to do it. So
$100 an hour.
Exactly. Okay. So this is the part of the interview, or the part of the podcast. I stole it from our good buddy, Sammy Hagar. If you ever watched his Access TV show. So he does this thing called This or That. It's just This or That. If you want to elaborate on it, cool. If not, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter.
I like it.
It's This or That. So interiors or exteriors?
I love doing interiors, but exteriors with coatings now has changed the game.
Yeah. Rupes or Flex?
Both.
Okay. Cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
Washing and folding towels. I hate windows. hate them.
Well, I picked that because it's usually the two most things that every detailer hates to do. So it's kind of like, you know. So sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Ooh. You know, I like Mother Nature, so I like a cool shot out in Mother Nature. And you know what? I'm still Boomer. Our 13-year-old dog just came up to say hi. Nice. Hi, Boomer. You want to be on a podcast? He's kind of shy. but you know, I think that a good sun shot still doesn't hide anything. I think with lighting, I think that you flood enough lights, you can hide shit. I think a good sun shot's pretty hard to hide anything.
It is. And plus, I mean, listen, you're in California, I'm in Florida. You gotta love sun shots, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mobile or shop?
Start out mobile, work your way to shop, unless you've got the money to start out in the shop. If you've got the cash and you've got 6 to 12 months reserves, go right into shop, you know? but it depends if you're on, if you're in Florida or California, I mean, mobile makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But you know, in Michigan or Idaho or Colorado, it might be a little tougher.
Exactly. left Twix or right Twix?
I like being different, so I'm going to grab it with my right and break off the left.
Okay. All right. Wax or ceramic?
Ceramic.
Okay. And you are the first and probably will be the only that not only gets a this or that, but we're also going to add in a or the other. So this is okay. A this, that, or the other. So are you a David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar, or Gary Cherone fan?
Sammy Hagar.
Nice.
I got to be honest. David Lee Roth in the very beginning, but Sammy's just cool. Yeah, you know?
He is.
He's just cool, dude.
He is. So side note, you were talking about his LaFerrari. Do you know how that came about? Do you know how he got that car?
No, I haven't. Have you heard the story?
I did. So when he sold Cabo Wabo to Patron, right? Because obviously he was cutting into their market. So when he was buying that, or when he was being bought out, that was when the LaFerrari came out. So apparently somebody on the board of Patron is either real high up with Ferrari or has connections with Ferrari. So Sammy said, hey, you know, he's been a Ferrari guy for all of his life. And he said, you know, I really would like to get one of those cars. And the guy said, well, listen, they only made, you know, what was it, 199 of them or something like that. They're pretty much all spoken for. But let me see what I can do. And so as part of the deal of selling Cabo Wabo for $80 million, he got a LaFerrari in that all white on white. Because the interior is white, I believe, too. Or,
it is.
It's
cool, man.
Yeah.
It's a cool car.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. So you learn something every day. Yeah. I'll teach you this. You know where Sammy Hagar grew up?
Well, he grew up in California. I know that. I don't remember exactly where.
Montana, California, one city over from us, our biggest rival in football. We would come out with two or three injured people. They were hardcore. Uh-huh. They were the Steelers, and there was a steel company. We were a railroad company, our town. They were a railroad. They were a steel town. We were a railroad town. You can imagine. They were mainly white. We were mainly Latino.
Okay.
And it was a battle. He was raised in Fontana, right near us. And a lot of his music, he'll reference back to things, and it's like, I know where he got that. You know?
Yeah. But that's cool. I can imagine if you grew up around there, you definitely probably that hits better for you than it does somebody, you know, for me that grew up in Florida, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's cool. We'll have that comment because I'm a huge Van Halen fan. When Eddie died, it was like, you know.
Oh, man.
It was unreal. But you know, Sammy Hagar, and leaving this, man, that's a fine example. So he sold that brand, but what is he doing with Guy right now? Because they got a whole new company.
So they've got what is it? So it's the Mezcal. So it's tequila, but it's a different. It's a Mezcal tequila versus, I guess, like the regular tequila. So
And their marketing is killing it, man.
Oh yeah.
And so forward movement, never give up, man. Never give up ground. Take the high ground. And when you get moving right now, it's like with all of our brands, dude, we're growing at such rapid pace, and the journey's so fun that I just want to pinch myself that I'm so glad. And I'll end with this. So many people want to give up, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
There's been so many times in my career I wanted to quit and go the easy route. And I just, something told me, you know, whether it was, you know, I think it was a spiritual thing. I think God really steered me, and it was my mom and my grandma and my wife backing me up, is to never give up. And man, I thank P&S, the Phillips family, every day. They've changed my life. And I'm so grateful for the relationships I have. And I'm so grateful for young guys like you that are coming and doing cool stuff like this. Well, don't give it up. No. I dig it. I listen. You're bringing people together, and God bless you, man. God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, I've always said, you know, I don't plan, you know, I'm going to do it until either I get bored or people tell me to stop doing it because they don't want it anymore. But we're growing, so that's not going to happen. And right. it's kind of addicting to me. So I don't see it, you know, I don't see me getting bored of it anytime soon. So Rennie, where does everybody find you? If they want to reach out to you, I mean, I know you're kind of a hard guy to get a hold of, but you know, somebody wants to learn more about, Detailing for Success or Detailing Mafia or whatever. How do they get a hold of you, or who do they reach out to?
You know, I'm actually pretty easy to get a hold of, but not via social media. We've got a large social media. We're real picky. We're not looking for a number of followers. We're looking right. for the right kind of followers.
Yeah.
So Detail Success is our brand. Detail Mafia, you can find that on Instagram and Facebook. Rennie Doyle, you can follow. I put a lot of my product stuff up, but not a lot of business stuff. I put a lot of personal stuff up there.
Right.
The easiest way, if you want to chat, the easiest way to get a hold of me is go through Chris. He makes my world go around.
Yeah.
And so Chris at detailingsuccess.com or Rennie at detailingsuccess, R-E-N-N-Y at detailingsuccess.com. We love hearing from people. I try to respond on if you tag me in a post, you've got a lot better chance of me being able to engage with you than if you send me a message. Right now between Instagram and Facebook, it's about, probably 150, 200 messages a day.
Yeah.
I can't read.
Yeah,
you know, I just can't read through them.
Yeah,
but when people tag me, I try to go on at least give a thumbs up or actually comment on it. I sit down for a couple hours a day, believe it or not, just check stuff out. But we love engaging with people. I love hearing people's stories. You know, I've got something I'm working on, kind of new that I'm just kind of branding it out right now. A lot of regular Joes in the industry, they're doing some pretty incredible things, man.
Yeah.
And I just love connecting with those regular Joes, you know?
Nice.
And so I love to be reached out to, you know, but if it's via social media messenger, probably not going to hear from me.
Yeah.
If it's email, you got a lot better choice or chance, excuse me.
Yeah. And sometimes even when you email Chris, you might have to email him a couple of times. I know trying to get your schedule. He's so busy too, that it's trying to find your availability through him
it's a good blessing to have. I love to complain, but we're almost to the point where we got to get Chris, you know, somebody to help him out. It's just, it's just nuts. You know,
exactly.
It's nuts. And the guys organize his old get out, but when we just get so many communications a day. And so looking for an intern to come in here locally to kind of help out with things and some other projects we've got going that we want to kick off. And, you know, nice. We just want to see people having fun and getting along and loving each other and doing stuff like you're doing and making the industry better, dude. And I applaud you. I think you're doing a great job, man.
Thank you again. I appreciate that. And for everybody who's listening, we can be found at Detail Solutions Podcast. I got to make sure I don't say auto spa like I have in the past. We are Detail Solutions Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And I am Alex Russell, CDSV at Facebook and TikTok, and A Russell 5150.
Ha.
On Instagram.
I love it.
All right, buddy. I'm going to let you go. I know it's dinner time over there probably. And again, I appreciate you sitting down and doing this, man. I you know, like I said in the beginning, everybody knows Rennie Doyle, but I don't think everybody knows Rennie Doyle. And hopefully some of the questions that I asked today are a little bit different. Some things that maybe we haven't heard you talk about. On your podcast or other podcasts or just in general kind of deal.
She's awesome, man. She's awesome. Well, hey, thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Keep it light. She's making it even funner. I'm sitting here trying to creep the straight face.
She does it all the time.
Oh, so. She's awesome. Don't ever let her stop doing that. Keep her going on that. So,
no. As long as she doesn't make too much noise to mess up with the audio, she's
there. You go. That's all that counts. Well, she's doing an awesome job. So hey, hope to see you soon.
Yes, sir.
And let's pray that SEMA goes. We can all be there and, you know, get back together and have a good time. So.
Exactly.
God bless. Thanks for coming. Bring me
Thank
on.
You.
I'm actually blown away. I'm one of the ninth spots. So I'm on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you. All right, buddy. You have a great night. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.